Stephanie Dillensager is a 25-year industry veteran, owning two salons for over 25 years, a stylist, and a Summit Salon coach for over 7 years. Today, we're going to hear all about her journey, how she got to where she was, and what it's like going through the process of opening up multiple salons, owning them for multiple decades, and coaching other hairstylists and salon owners. Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong Show. My name is Robert Hughes, and I am your host. And today I'm with Stephanie Dillensager. How are you doing today, Stephanie?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. So anybody who's listening or watching, I was referred to community, like I was connected. I wouldn't say introduced, more like here's the information, reach out to Stephanie. You definitely want to talk to her, and you definitely want to know her. And because she's a mu mover, shaker, and does big things and does great things. And so it w that was last year before our beauty business brunch. And I was able to get a hold of you and with enough notice. And thank goodness you're going to be on the panel for this year's beauty business brunch. So I'm super excited to have you on the show, and as a great segue into getting you on in person on one of the panels at the brunch. So thank you, and I'm super excited about this.
No, I'm looking forward to that as well. Last year I had to take my son to college, so I was not able to attend, but this year he'll be a junior, he'll be fine.
Okay, cool. So let's start off with so you got in the industry. Did you go to school? Did you do an apprenticeship program? Tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you ended up in salon ownership. I do think that because you've been doing what you've been doing for so long, I think that the focal of the conversation being on that journey, but I want to like give everybody some context and how you got to salon ownership in the first place.
Sure. Always interested in the field. Went to college for 2 years, kind of like I think a lot of people do, the traditional route. Always knew I wanted to be in this industry. Came home from school and I thought, well, let me get a job at a salon to see if it's something I want to do. I got a job at the front desk at a salon, and 8 weeks later, I realized I'm never leaving this industry. So I actually worked at the front desk for a while, got into management, and then I went to cosmetology school. So I worked full time and I went to Grand Web part time. So if you know me now, I go to sleep at 8 o'clock. My classes didn't start till like 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. So not sure how I did this. It was a very, very long time ago, but I loved every minute of it. So then I transitioned to assisting, and back then it was a long journey, different than it is now. Then I assisted for 2 years. And then I became a full-time stylist for many, many years. And then I started to get in back into management and then growing the salon. And I'm technically not retired behind the chair, but I'm not a full-time stylist behind the chair anymore. Just as we continue to grow, my time needs to be not back there at this point. So.
Cool. Okay. So salon ownership. So how long have you had the second location?
So the second location, we actually opened about 6 months before COVID.
Oh.
So that's been an interesting journey. That's been a little tough. They're only about 15 minutes apart, but where they're located, where people live, they kind of don't cross paths. So
Interesting.
it really was still, even to this day, kind of getting our name in that area, even though we've been part of our other location where we've been for 25 years. So that definitely has been a little bit of a challenge, but post-COVID, but we're finally kind of like taking that corner, like turning that corner. So it's been
And
good.
did you consider or try to open up a salon any point in the past before opening up this one?
Well, those are very long stories, but over all the years, there's been different in multiple locations, but myself and my husband, these are our two locations. So
Okay.
I always tell people I can tell you what not to do because I've probably done
Well, let's I think that
it.
sounds like a great segue into learning a little bit about the journey of salon ownership. So would you tell us a little bit about, when we're saying like the aspiring salon owner out there, They like to hear how did you get the first location up? Like, what were some of the defining moments for you to actually get open and get the ownership? Because for some people, it feels very out of reach, because maybe they don't have enough money to get like the place that they see on a main drag, and it has construction and it needs done, and you're talking about a lot of money there potentially. But I've heard some pretty awesome stories. What is yours?
So mine was the location in Ashburn. It actually existed. So that was already there. So that was something that I was able to become part of and then take over that. So that's a little bit of a difference than what you're asking about. Now, with the second location, that definitely was the ground up from start to finish. Different challenges when you are stepping into a new role on an already existing salon, it's a little bit different. And because I was a stylist with everybody. So it definitely was a transition period. That was challenging. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I always knew this is, I always kind of had it in me, but that transition from becoming everybody's, coworker and stylist now to becoming, oh, the owner, the boss, those kind of things. But the transition happened, and I'm, very grateful to say. I mean, I have staff that's been with me as long as I've been there, so feel very
Wow.
fortunate for that. So, and I think that's because one, the culture that had already started, but then what we've grown it to. And I say we because it's not one person. So, I mean, I definitely feel fortunate for that.
So it seems I hear quite a few of these stories, and it seems like probably the most realistic way for the majority of us to become a salon owner is to either take over or buy out a current already existing salon, because it seems to keep the cost, what's the what are they
Build
called? The
out.
startup costs. Yeah, you don't have the build out. You already have, like, the landlord is already used to the business, and so it seems like that seems like the path that most folks should try to really should really consider. And okay, so tell me, we were talking before about your story, and you just kind of brought up, like, before this conversation, and you just brought up like it takes people. So could you give us some, like, stories about the process of salon ownership and community, and how that all, like, kind of maybe, like, talking through the timeline of being a salon owner, the ups and downs, and kind of leading you up to the point where you were like, it's time to open, to planning the next location.
No, no doubt. I think for me, it was really a journey of going through that transition, like I had said, and then realizing that I kind of wanted to grow it and make it bigger for other people to be part of it. And so with that became, all the changes that we started implementing in the salon and then growing our leadership team and bringing more people on at that level. And then developing shareholders, people that eventually will potentially take over the salon. So like you were saying before, I think that really is where the growth starts to happen when you can get everybody on the same page. Because I think I said it to you when we first talked. If your salon culture isn't where it needs to be, like nothing else really matters because nothing else is really going to continue to build and grow. So for me, I think that's what I realized was the most important was those connections with people, making sure someone had a safe place to work where they felt like they could grow, be successful, all of those things. Which then we got to the point where we were, not busting out of the seams, but we needed space. I mean, we had so many people. Very grateful that wanted to work for the company, and we wanted to be able to continue to grow it. So I mean, I don't like to say no to people if I think they definitely have could fit in our culture and potentially have an opportunity to grow. So we just realized that we needed more space for that so we can offer that for people.
So what I'm trying to get at is if I'm like thinking about a salon owner, I'm a new salon owner, or I got a suite and maybe I got two chairs and I'm renting out one, or maybe I'm running a commission salon in a two chair suite, whatever. I think what I'm trying to ask, dig into is like at year one through three, this is what we dealt with. Year five, we dealt with this, but there was a little bit of a something happened at year 11, and then, could you tell us a story like that?
Yes. So
Okay.
I will say, honestly, the game changer for my company was when we found Summit. And the reason I say that is because we had all these different systems in place. We had our education department, we had our, how our front desk system works, our assistant team. Like, we had all of these different teams and things moving in our salon. I actually just went to a 2-day class and I realized we were missing the link of making it all run together smoothly. So it was about, so what, 16 years ago? So do the math. That's when it really changed. That's when it shifted. Because at that point, I realized, it's not just a salon that's a business, it's a business that's a salon. And that's when the kind of that really that light bulb went off, and I realized, okay, we're doing all of these things, but I never really learned how to do all of this and make this all work together. So many of us never did, especially salon owners. Nobody really teaches you this stuff,
Can you
and
give me
it's
an example of something?
I would say, and I think our biggest thing is our career path. Most salons, you go to work from them and you watch somebody and they're busy. Great, you want to be like them. Well, but what does that mean? How do I get there? What kind of money does that even, what, how does that work? So being able to say to newer stylists, this is what it looks like at this company. Here's what we're going to do to help you build and grow. And then these are the guidelines that are going to help you get to where you want to be successful. So that was the game changer, again, about 16 years ago, where we could actually say that to people. Because more so now than ever, I would say, especially newer stylists coming into the industry, they want to know what's in it. They like what's happening? What's the potential? What's the next step? What's my options? What do I have to work? What do I have to do? Like, what does this look like? So I think for us, 16 years ago, that was the big shift. It was, where we started that process, and it was a process. So we started off with, developing our, level system. What does it look like? How do you jump levels? What does that mean? Why is, retention important? Why is average ticket important? Why are all of those things important? And really what I think the big takeaway from that was not only the foundations to set my company up to be successful on the back end, but also to have that path to show people what their potential was. Because I think that's a big piece that's missing in a lot of salons is they have it, but they don't actually have it, right? They know it, but no one's ever taught them how to actually talk about it or actually put it down for people to actually see. So I would say, that really, the 16 years ago, I would say were the biggest thing. Now, after that, it was a process. So again, we started with our level system. I realized at that time, our pricing. So many salons, they open up and they just call around to other salons, and that's where they get their pricing from. But that's not really how it should be. It's all based on demographics. There's a whole system behind it, right? But again, no one ever teaches you that stuff. I didn't know there was a budget for how much product I'm going to order. I didn't realize. I just assumed, oh, well, we use, three tubes of 6N. That's what I need to order. So learning all that stuff for me in the beginning, that probably took, I'd say, the biggest time, and then getting the team on board, because I think you would agree, we're in the industry of change, but a lot of us don't like change. And so all of a sudden, here I am bringing all of these quote unquote systems, but really it was just to help everyone increase their guest experience and level up the entire industry and let them see the potential that they have. So, that transition looked some better than others. Some were leave me alone. I don't care. Doesn't matter who, what my pre-booking, percentage is. I just like to do my clients. I just like to do that. And I would say between then and now, what I tell people that I coach other salons, I tell them, I'm like, you can call anybody in my salon and I'm not going to tell them you're going to call and they're going to give you the same answers that I'm going to tell you. And that is the difference of what they have in front of them now to help them be a successful stylist from when they did before. And the ones that are new and don't know any different, you know, that's just what they expect. But, you know, that's where I feel proud to say that because I do. I tell a lot of the salon owners I work with, like, just call them up because there were stylists that were against the changes. They're the first ones will tell you, like, it was a game changer in their career.
Interesting. So I definitely have seen that at myself in terms of career paths being crucial to hiring new young talent. What I'm getting from them is like if I interpret it is they don't it's not the expectations that they have, I do not believe, and I'm open to being corrected on this. And you know, how many apprentices do you have?
So currently we have six apprentices. We usually onboard between six and seven every year. And it just varies. That's typically we start a class every year and that's what happens.
Okay.
Sometimes we onboard people throughout the year. It just depends. But
Okay.
that's usually right now kind of the number that works for us to be able to, you know, give them the education that they need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but between six and eight students is really kind of maxing out for one individual to teach. That's my experience. Unless you teach, this is just haircutting, of course. You know, start to finish, and then they do it, then you can get a bigger class. But like that, I feel like working one panel at a time or one a little bit at a time, and like, you know, I do it, you do it, and we go back and forth. And I just don't see how you can get a class bigger than 6 to 8 students
And
with unless
I
you're
am
one
not the one
person.
that runs the program, so absolutely, but that's exactly what we do. So if we do have people on board, like you said, it's literally you've got to onboard. It's not our typical September. You've got to onboard right before haircutting or after haircutting. So it's exactly what you just said, because absolutely that just takes probably the most time. So
Yeah.
one person that runs our entire apprenticeship, but of course we have other stylists that also help with that too. But yeah, that's a lot for one person. So
Yeah. So the student, what I'm hearing is that yes, they don't, it's not that they want like, I mean, this is like I said, my experience, and they don't, it's not that they want a bunch of money or benefits or health care or time off. I mean, they do, but like that's like it when you boil it down, it's like two basic things. Like one is like a safe space where they'll be respected and not exploited and not discriminated against and treated like a human, not just a cog in your machine you call your business. And two, they want a clearly defined pathway of growth. And with mentorship along the way. I've found that those, like, if you can kind of provide that. And, you know, I just had a conversation with a rising stylist. He is graduating soon. He's actually, you know, last year, people want asked to have some representation of the student body on the panel. And we did not have that. So I did, oh my gosh, I did find somebody. And he's going to be sitting on on one of the panels, and so we'll get to hear him talk on some of this as well with the multiple parties, with the other parties. So it'd be interesting to see what that looks like. But we were talking about how, you know, salon owners either they don't want to, or they don't have the ability or know-how to put it on paper. And so like you said, you know, you have people, we have this, you know, in our head about the pathway, you know, and they probably do. But I do think that there's some a little something about not wanting to put things on paper in this industry. Like ever since I was coming up, it's like nobody likes anything in writing, unless it's a non-compete contract, except for I don't really know that many people who do that anymore because I don't think they hold up in court. So I think that's, you know, I totally agree with you. We need to see more people taking the time to kind of define what it looks like to grow in your business, because it's going to be hard to bring people on. You might be able to find, you could wait for people to build themselves and grow a book, and then you can market yourself as a great place to move your clientele to, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's one way to run your business. But if you want to like grow anybody, then good luck, I think. If you're not going to take that time to be able to
I
communicate.
agree. And that's unfortunately too where a lot of salon owners are. If you're behind the chair full time, it just makes it really difficult because they don't have the time to do it, which I understand. I was in that position before. And that's why, it was a whole plan of how I was going to step away from the chair because, to be able to, like you said, coach and mentor, either the salon owner needs to do it or you need to have other team members help and do it because my experience from all the newer stylists coming in the industry, you're exactly right. That's what they're looking for. That is exactly what they're looking for. They just want to feel part of something, but also know, well, what do I have to do if I want to get there, right? That's what we always say. And I'd say over the last, 10 years or so, some schools start to teach how to build their business in schools, a lot don't. And I think that's also to our responsibilities as salon owners because they don't always get that in school, and that's not their fault. But we have to take the time to teach them how to do that because what do we always say? The busy bus doesn't just show up, right? So as salon owners, it's our job to, be able to coach, mentor, teach them what that looks like, even though it was different than when we started, right? And I say we, but me before you, and I always go back to social media being such a huge difference. But, I think for me personally, I always say I had all of the tools in front of me that we can offer to stylists, newer stylists, that all these companies can do for their team. I mean, people can just grow their business bigger, better, faster. I mean, just it's so the opportunity is just so different. And that's why I think, that's what I think students are looking for. They're looking for, again, that safe salon, that safe place where they can be themselves, they can grow, but also too, just somewhat of the accountability. They want to know that if they want the accountability, it's there, and that's where too, it's being a salon owner, it's not always just about, writing paychecks and doing orders. To be honest, it's not even really about hair. I mean, that's what I think most salon owners would say agree with that. It really doesn't come down to the technical skills of hair, actually. I think that's what I love about it, but yeah.
I want to go back a little bit. You had said so 25 years running owning the salon, and then you did some math and went 16 years back, and when I guess that's when you got into Summit, is that in salon system? So and that was a game changer. So that's 9 years. Before that, tell us about those 9 years a little bit. Like, tell us a little bit about any of the highs and lows, because I'm curious to know, what was your story that led you to opening yourself up to bring in this other group and like buy into this other system.
Absolutely, because I definitely love to tell that story because I think for so many people, it's, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid kind of thing is what I say, but I'm obviously a supporter of Summit. I believe in the systems, but I just believe in any system. So I always, for any salon owners, it's just figuring out what's going to work for you, right? I've chose this path and I can go and help other people create it, but that doesn't mean aren't other opportunities. Before that, it was sort of, I kind of say the hamster wheel. Like I was just keeping up with everything, right? Like, oh, shoot, what's our next holiday? Oh, great. Are we even doing a promotion? Oh, no. Did you guys order that? Oh, what's our next class? Oh, what, all of those things. We weren't doing meetings with our teams often. We weren't meeting one-on-one with our staff, all of those things. It was always after the fact, if that made sense. Like we were always like one or two steps behind. So I always was feeling like I kind of use that hamster wheel. I've said that before. And I mean, just lucky enough, I just went to a 2-day class. I mean, I wasn't even necessarily thinking about anything. And literally I sat there and I thought, like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Because again, it was everything we were doing, but it kind of all made sense. And it actually, you can see, I almost said like the light at the tunnel. like, wow, you can actually plan these things ahead of time and not have to think about it the day before and realize, like, oh crap, I didn't do it. Or be able to, again, have things for your team to look forward to or pre-plan what they are interested in education. Really getting their insights, being able to be, much more organized. I mean, honestly, that's the big thing. I think as stylists, we just keep up with the day. So many of us, when we started, it's different now. I mean, that's definitely, I think, a different industry, which I think is great. People are pre-planning their days, thinking about their days. When I was a stylist, I just showed up and figured it out, and the day ended no matter what, right? And it's just not like that now, but I think it's good. It's just, that's just how it was. So for me as a salon owner, that's just all I knew was just to show up and kind of like whatever fire I had to put out. And the way I describe, I think before Summit, and I'll tell this other salon owners, it was literally like every day just putting out fires. Nothing even big, but just always, do you have a minute? Do you have a minute? Something here, something there, something. And if you want to grow a company and be a salon owner, you can't do that. That doesn't work. You need to work on your business, not in your business. Now, it's easy to say that now that I'm not behind the chair, because I know and I've been there, it's a transition. But I think that really is where, to be able to look at the salon from the outside, I think before I was always in it every day, literally just keeping up with, like a stylist, what's being thrown at me that day. So, I think that too was, I think, the biggest thing for me. It was almost like a relief. I'm not alone, first of all. And two, oh my God, somebody could actually help me figure this out. So, I mean, I've been working with a coach this whole time. So even though I, am a coach, I still think it's important, no matter what industry you're in, to have somebody that is a mentor to you. Because to me, it's just an outside, influence to give you some guidance. So, I mean, that for me, that's my accountability, right? So I think that too, before all of these things that we put in place, it was just so much of, I'd say, constant stress, to be honest. It was like doing a busy day behind the chair. And we know what that can be, right? Some stylists thrive off of it. I mean, we still have some in my own company that that's just all they know, and that's where they thrive. Not so much like that now. It's a little different, I would say. But again, that's all I knew. So that's how I was for, all those years before I realized, wait, there could be a different way. Now, that doesn't mean it was all of a sudden different. I mean, by no means was that the case, but it, and I guess from experience, the way I talk about it is it's like two steps, one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, two steps back. But eventually you get ahead, and then eventually you can kind of step away and look at, okay, now we can look at the business a little bit differently, and what can we do to help all these people in a different set than literally just putting out the fires every day, because that you're not getting anywhere with that. That's the thing. You're just basically maintaining what you have.
So I totally get what you are talking about. Like when I first got into management, I was also behind the chair full time, and I'm behind the chair 4 days a week. And it was like in between clients,
Hard.
everybody wanted to, everyone's got a question, everyone's got a complaint, everyone's wants to talk about a specific scenario, and then just it's kind of like coming at you like bullets in like a war zone, it's like ducking and diving. And so like what do you say to and then like oh, did the order get done? Oh, you didn't get that order. What happened to that order? And this is like the thing that happens the
On
most.
back
It's like
order.
something didn't come in the way that it was supposed to, and it's like whose fault is it? Because everyone wants to like know whose fault it is, and it's like and yeah, I just constantly trying to figure out where, I'm the type of person I like to systematize things. I believe in systems, and I think this is a very healthy message to all of those out there, salon owners and suite owners, suite renters and booth
Absolutely.
renters as well. Like you feel the same thing because you are your own business and you have to actually work in your business.
There's
So
no
it's a
one to
Yeah, no one to complain to. I mean, you might not have people coming at you, but you also, as a stylist, you don't in a suite or booth, like you don't necessarily always have somebody to like get in between you and the customer.
Right.
That's so that there's different dynamics, but at the end of the day, It seems like most salon owners and independent stylists have a huge workload, and the majority of them seem like they have to work in their business in order for it to be viable. And so if they did pull back, the fear and anxiety of losing that income, and like most of the salon owners that I know of, most of them are like Gen X. Old millennial, Gen X, maybe some baby boomers still. I mean, they're still there. I'm just saying, like, the people I'm thinking of that are, they're younger, they're more progressive in their thinking in terms of like how do they structure, they're more creative with their approach to business and education. But they still have this, like, how much money they are bringing in and, you know, how many heads they have to get through the door. And, so it, what, how would you talk, you know, because as we wrap up this conversation, how would you communicate to a person like that? What would you say to anybody who is working in their business? We'll start with a salon owner, because a suite, you know, might be a little, I feel like it's going to be a little different because they don't really have a choice to slowly pull back from behind the chair. So salon owners, they're in that stage that you were talking about, the first 9 years of their business, first 9 years of your business, I guess, if they're having a similar journey. You know, maybe it's their first year, or maybe they're like thinking about, you know, hey, I'm a busy stylist. I'm thinking about going to open my own salon, and I should be okay because I can pay the bills. So I would love to hear what you have to say. Like, when I say those things, what would you say to those people, in as for in terms of words of advice and maybe even some motivation or encouragement?
The one thing that I always will talk to different salon owners, because again, most of them, when I start working them, are either the number one stylist in their company or a big piece of it, right? And so from experience, I've been there. And something like that, I always to ask people, I'm like, or tell people, wouldn't it be nice to do hair because you want to do hair, not because you have to do hair? Because they're very different, right? You know, and I feel fortunate. I mean, I'm retired, but you know, I still do hair. That's the joke in the salon because I still do some clients, but it's because I love to do that. But I'm fortunate I don't have to do it. But it, there was a, there's a sort of a path to get there, right? It doesn't happen overnight. And knowing enough about your business that what is going to, if I don't work for 4 hours, how many people does that look like that I need to onboard? What does that look like? Because they're probably going to charge less than me, right? Because newer stylists aren't going to be, they're not going to be as fast as me right now. And they're obviously not going to be generating as money. So what does that look like? What are the opportunities that I have to be able to plan for it? So that's really probably one of the big first conversations that I have with salon owners, because sometimes it might be you're not stepping away at all right now, right? Like that's just not an option. Okay, well, what's that look like to you? What's your goal for that? And again, maybe you always want to do hair, but wouldn't it be nice not to have to do it, right? To do hair, just have that be something that you don't have to worry about that income bringing in. And that's where, you know, I always go back to that sort of, you know, getting your company set up where it needs to get set up. So to see what that bigger picture looks like, to have that opportunity, because so many of us as salon owners didn't or thought that could exist, right? It was like, well, we're just gonna, we just bought ourselves a salon that we work in, right? Like that's
Right.
what a lot of people, you know,
Yeah.
that's what it is. So I think just being able to understand and to, for me to talk to other salon owners that there are different opportunities. It's just being able to have, you know, guidance and see what that looks like, because it really is somebody stepping outside your company to be able to, you know, have you and also look at it in a different light to see, you know, how to get to those goals. A lot of salon owners can coach and mentor stylists great because they're there, right? But being a salon owner, a lot of us struggled with that. And again, that's why I say until, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, become part of this, you don't know any different. No one teaches this stuff, you know? So that's where I always go back to for so that's why I always go say I'm passionate about it, 'cause I just want people to know that there's different opportunities and options and just understand their business differently. Because again, nobody teaches you this stuff. And so many salon owners have it in them, but they don't have the information. You know, I always say we don't know what we don't know. And so that's where I think, you know, talking to a salon owner in that position, it's one, figuring out their vision, you know, what does their vision look like? And then helping them, you know, get to that goal, just as I am a stylist helping my apprentice or helping my associate or helping those things. But for salon owners, because there's really nowhere for salon owners to turn for this stuff. You know, and I always joke, but as a salon owner, forget coach, you know, we're all in it together. Good, bad, whatever.
Totally. So, I like that. Would you, if there, someone was an aspiring salon owner, would you recommend they kind of get going and kind of get their feet wet and then, look for a coach? Or do you think someone should like spend the time to set up their business before they even start? And before you answer that question, is there a risk? I don't know how exactly to say this question. So my mentor tells me you need to stop getting ready to get ready and just do it. Like, okay. With that in there, I would, what is your, how do you respond to respond?
I mean, honestly, the more information you have, the more successful you're going to be. So that's why I'm a big believer that I would rather get everything and all the knowledge that I can before I would move forward, because otherwise it's just kind of going back and changing things, you know, to be able to. And again, nothing's going to be perfect and work exactly how you want it. But, you know, perfect example for me opening at the second location, I always wanted to do that because I wanted to start off that business knowing what I knew. That was what I was excited to do. Then COVID hit, so things didn't quite work out the same way. But, you know, being in both of those positions and the salon ownership, I think there's definitely value in that. I just think the more information you know, what is it? The more you know, isn't that an old commercial? It's a drug commercial. But there's just no doubt about it, because otherwise you're just going in blindly from the advice of others, which isn't bad, but they just might not have had the opportunity to learn these things too. So that's why I always say it's just, to me, I think it's important, especially if someone's thinking about it, to get involved in the community of other salon owners, because, you know, everybody's willing to talk, willing to share, be part of something. You know, it used to be different, I think, many, many years ago, but it's just not like that now. You know, we're always, I think, you know, you would say it too, we're all willing to share what we did that didn't work so well and what's working. Maybe great for your company, maybe not great for your company, but just to be able to share and kind of be in that safe space with other owners. I would also say that's important for them too.
Absolutely. I love that though. Thank you so much for that. And I know you got to go. So thank you so much for your time. And I definitely want to get you on camera maybe one time before the brunch if you have time. Maybe we do these live community conversations on Instagram. Maybe you could jump on one of those, or maybe we could expand on another topic in another interview. But until then, thank you so much. And it was a pleasure. And I look forward to talking to you some more and expanding on some of these processes that folks got to go through to be successful on the business side of things.
Thank you.
All right. See you later.